As we continue our series of interviews on pastors managing themselves and God's gift of time, we welcome Professor Bivens of the seminary speaking with us today. Thank you, Professor, for your
Thank you for the opportunity to talk with you.
As we first question I'd like to ask is, what do you think are some of the most typical mistakes we make as pastors as we seek to manage ourselves in time? What would you list?
I guess I'm filtering this through personal thought and personal experience, and so it may not apply to everyone. But one of the most serious mistakes that I think I believe that I made was not taking the gift of time as a gift that is limited. As simple as that sounds, it's just so profound. It is a gift, but it obviously has parameters, and it's a philosophical or ideological issue, but if I looked upon time, if I had looked upon time at the very beginning of my ministry as something as valuable, if not more valuable, than physical resources, I would have saved myself a lot of heartache.
As if it were some kind of unlimited thing from which you draw and drain.
And that it isn't also under the rubric of stewardship, if you will. It is a gift to be managed, not something to be taken for granted, not to be ignored.
That's huge.
It is.
What else would do you think are mistakes we tend to make as we manage ourselves in that gift you just mentioned?
I guess I learned this from that quotation from Martin Luther, who said that I am so busy right now that I don't think I'd be able to make it through unless I prayed 3 hours a day. That made me stop and think. And when I gave thought to biographies or biographical tales of people who have made a big difference in church history, I realized that they never seem to be hamstrung by the press of duties. And then I also seem to note that they had a kind of a devotional life that was just so rich and so deep. And I began to put that together. And all of the biographical studies that I have done since that initial
confirmed that?
Eureka moment was, I think the mistake that I was making initially was that I was pitting the use of time for devotional and God-centered weighing of a day's agenda. I was pitting that against the proper use of time, when in reality, they're one and the same.
It's the essence of that.
To the degree that I set apart and guarded and safeguarded time and used it for those horizontal, on the vertical rather than just the horizontal ministry, to that degree, I believe that I ended up, as Luther himself said, with more time.
It isn't so many things of the kingdom.
Yes. To be able to say, dear Father in heaven, I don't see a horizon here with my to-do list, whether the number of people that should be visited or the number of items to be written or the number of items to be studied. I don't see a horizon. So I'm going to have to rely upon you to give me those kinds of directional markers today and tomorrow, day by day. And I promise that I'm going to heed those. And I guess that ends up being a pretty decent manager of time right there. It has at least worked out in my case.
Filling us up that we don't go empty in the midst of all that busyness.
Correct. Yeah.
Any other encouragements? Encouragements are coming. But any other things you think where we make mistakes, misjudgments as we seek to manage ourselves in time? Anything else you'd add to that? You've already given us plenty.
Now, there was another one, but I did not write it down. There's a fault that I should have written that down, and it was there a moment ago, but it's gone now, so I'm not going to waste
the time. Well, there's the third
I'm not going to waste anyone's time.
That's
right.
that was well done. That was kind of a object lesson format.
Yeah.
How about tips, insights that you've heard from others, gained through hard knowledge over the course of years that helps us to manage? You are really the devotional one. Fits both of those.
Yeah, it does. It does. Because you then seem to have a firm, calm, confident center, if you will. And from that, you go into tasks and activities and priorities and you, all of the other nuts and bolts of a lifestyle. But it's that calm center that really does make a difference.
Keeps us from a frenzied hurry.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
There, I say that autobiographically.
Yeah. Right.
Okay.
And as far as materials or resources, you know, practical things, allow me to draw an analogy. When you read or when you listen to people who are financial gurus of good money management, they will always begin by emphasizing the importance of a personal and a family budget. But then if you press them a little bit farther, what they're going to say is, and the goal is to get you and your family to the point where you don't need a budget anymore. It almost sounds like heresy to a money manager, but what they mean, of course, is that by budgeting and by taking it with utter seriousness.
Self-discipline.
Yes, self-discipline, governing yourself with regard to impulse items, taking God's gift of money very seriously, and the various aspects of charitable and long-range retirement, if you will, issues, as well as, of course, first fruit giving. What they mean is that after a time, you can throw away your budget because you have become a different person. And hopefully then your family unit has become a different person. Mm-hmm. You simply live life with a whole different value system that respects money, is grateful for what God provides. You know its power for good or for ill. And you're just monitoring yourself on a day-to-day basis. Periodically, you can always double check just how the pieces of your financial pie are being divvied up each month. But in general, you already know. You know exactly what's happening because it's in your head and your heart.
You've internalized your budget rather than paper or a computer screen.
And I would say that time management and the proper use of time, I would put in the same kind of a learning curve. That after a while, after you have begun with everything from a notebook or taking a calendar, a week or a monthly calendar, and dividing it up into half-hour segments, which is what I once did, and I always, you know, plotted those out, and I'm dedicating this to this and this to this and so forth, after a while, I don't believe that I would derive the same benefit anymore. I don't need it. It's not that I don't respect time management any less, but it became lifestyle. The only time that I had to wrestle with issues was every time I changed my place of ministry. If I moved from in my case, it was from a small mission kind of parish to a large treadmill kind of ministry where, you know, you don't see the horizon. And then from that to the teaching ministry, you had different challenges in dividing up your time. But the same
have shifted and changed.
Yes, but the same basic approach. This time is a precious gift. This time is to be used fully. Long-range planning is a huge part of time management. Short-range planning with adjustments is a big part of time management. But that prayerful attention to priorities. What I found probably the most frustrating bit of advice that I started with was always distinguish the important from the urgent. And what I kept finding in the ministry that usually the urgent things were also the important things.
They tended to match.
Yes. So I just canceled out that one and just said, I'll just consider it all very important. And I pray that the Lord gives me enough wisdom to recognize that this would simply be a waste of time, and I'm not going to go there. And I taking that one principle and kind of setting it aside, all the other principles were just common sense in a certain way. But again, it's that hardcore, serious approach to time as a gift from God, a gift with limitations, but a gift that has so many opportunities. And what time management, for me at any rate, because I have a terrifically healthy, sinful nature, and that part of me is just as lazy, would sit down and watch the reruns of Gilligan's Island on TV again and again and again.
That's that music I heard.
I would simply zone out and do nothing. But what time management and it has taught me is that if I have some free time, you know, or flex time, whatever it be called, where I don't have a deadline that has to be met, if I then begin to look at items that are going to be coming down the pike in a month or 2 months, I'm going to get an initial start on that. It accomplished to me two things. Number one, I use that immediate time more wisely than I otherwise would have. The other thing is, it's like starting a sermon on Monday morning. And that's what I got in the habit of doing. Even though it was an initial text study or a partial exegesis accomplished that first morning, what it really ended up doing was that it put it into my head and my heart so that then on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, aside from the time set apart for that purpose, it was incubating within me.
Sure.
And it was perking. And every time I would see something or hear something or on this kind of a shut-in call or that kind of a hospital call or that kind of a counseling session, it's amazing how that text was just one of your constant companions. I also believe that time management is getting an early rather than a later start on most projects and allowing that attention to do the same thing. Then when you sit down a week or even a month later to continue, formally to continue that task, it's been doing a nice bit of work inside of you. And you reap the benefits of that.
The brain is an amazing thing that God.
It is.
But things that can be tasking on it, you're not even aware. It's
that's right.
Processing.
And it's organizing and it's.
And if I haven't gotten a jump on any of those, I forfeit that.
That I guess that you summarize it beautifully. If I don't even if I waste in a certain sense that time that could have been used for that purpose, I forfeit that benefit.
One of the reasons, I can't remember who said it first, that Saturday night specials aren't all that special in preaching. You just have that time. Not only is the pressure on, but there's been no chance to soak in that text, to percolate that text.
Wasn't that another attributed to Luther quote?
Dubist
foul? When he was
that certainly is.
When he was coming down from the pulpit, and he said, and the Lord told me something after this was a week when he hadn't done adequate preparation, and what did the Lord tell you after your sermon? Du bist foul.
Schwärmerisch.
Yeah, that's right. He had a sharpened conscience, and it was what a gift. But again, that a lot of this I know is very philosophical, but I do believe that's the stuff that shapes the practical steps that an individual will take to give form to these concerns, these priorities, and these key principles.
Well, what you reminded us is finally, no matter what tools someone might use, we haven't internalized time as a gift of God.
Yeah.
My own limitations and not being able to do everything. And prioritizing what God has given to do that counts.
Very much so.
If I haven't done that, no matter what tools I use, it won't matter.
Yeah.
It's just a piece of paper.
That's true.
Or something on my computer.
There has never in our lifetime and in our circles been a shortage of devotional materials, a shortage of time management guides, books, websites. That is not what I need. Again, my favorite anecdote. I used it as an introduction to that stewardship essay at the symposium a few years ago about that farmer sitting on the front porch when a salesman comes up and says, I have here information that will make you, you know, twice the better farmer than you are. And the farmer just rocked on his rocking chair in the front porch and said, not interested. He said, I already know how I can be twice the farmer that I am now. That ain't the problem. And he just continued to rock on his chair.
So, anything else that you'd want to share with the brothers as iron sharpens iron here as we help one another think this through?
Well, if they have the same temptations that I had to face, and they come from the sinful nature as much as anything else, I had a real wrestling with myself because I kept convincing myself that I was still not only acceptably faithful, and not only was I deriving that level of joy from the ministry when I wasn't really managing time. I was just convincing myself that it was. But when these things began to fall into place, when through counsel here and modeling there that I observed, or a book that I had read, or a seminar that I became aware of, or eventually then a website that I would visit, to the degree that the Lord mercifully enabled me to fill out my days and watch a lot less of Gilligan's Island and watch a lot of, to that degree, that kind of satisfaction, a satisfaction and a joy of what the Lord has allowed us to do, it just kept growing. And it maybe in a very small scale, I could see where a Martin Luther could be really satisfied at the end of the day, or so many of the other church fathers that had really accomplished so much, or the Wauwatosa men here at this seminary, the volume of material that they wrote, the incredible amount of wisdom that they were able to impart, how they did it, I can only envision focus, faithfulness. I know that there were some social and synodical obligations that, you know, were not loaded upon them that may be loaded upon current day counterparts. Nevertheless, I just sense that they devoted, that was a lifestyle to them, and it was a very efficient lifestyle.
Is it that sense of satisfaction you mentioned, something like the end of Psalm 90, where Moses prayed for that sense of having God establishing the work of one's hands?
Yes.
It's in his hands. He's entrusted time to us. We've used it, and we trust he'll establish what's been done.
Yeah, and then he goes and repeats the whole thing over again there, that verse, just so Robert Frost could cheat and plagiarize the idea with his miles to go before I sleep. Yes. Yeah, no, that's true. But I think that that kind of a way of ending that psalm begins with the recognition of our frailty, the acknowledgement of God's greatness and goodness, a good dose of repentance in the middle, and then also that trust that God is still willing to use us and to bless the work of our hands. That's philosophical of the first rank. Turn me loose to redeem the time now. Yeah.
So. Well, thanks very much.
You are very welcome.
I appreciate the encouragement you've given to me and to others who may watch this. So,
thank you for the opportunity to talk.
Appreciate